become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading.
Hello, there's an unspoken fear. Mark Bancroft coming to you live on the Lake Johnson Network's National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are just entering hour two of the show, the last hour of the show. And in just a moment, I'm going to bring Eric Ajewski of Tradcad Night up. And at some point, Patrick Slattery will finish his karate exercises for the night, seriously, and join us for some of the conversation in hour two. Just wanted to make reference to one thing on RT, and this is why RT.com is an interesting site, whether you agree with their perspective the majority of the time or you don't. But this story is worth your time. The German chancellor makes Holocaust comment following criticism. Olaf Scholz slammed the Palestinian president's comparison of Israeli policies toward Arabs to the Holocaust. Take a look at that back and forth there. It mimics many of the same kinds of debates and debacles in the American political scene. But Olaf Scholz, of course, has other things to worry about, including a German economy that is absolutely tanking in a so-called war of economic attrition against Putin's Russia, which is in the process of destroying Germany in regard to energy costs, in regard to food prices, and in regard to attempting to impose a Green Party economy on what was the best industrial economy in Europe. So Olaf Scholz has many other problems to deal with. So apparently in this particular case, he's decided that he'd better get in line with the Israeli lobby on this whole subject of the Holocaust and of Israel and Zionism and the present policies of the Israeli government toward Palestinians specifically and Arabs generally. Eric Ajewski, are you out there in cyberspace somewhere?
Somewhere like that. Maybe a couch near you, but...
Yeah. Well, folks, for those of you on our... Yes. Eric Ajewski has, folks, for those of you not familiar with him, he is arguably the leading traditional Catholic broadcaster in America based upon his circulation of Tradcad Night. I'll let him promote that himself because he'll do a better job of that than I certainly will. I have been a guest on that show from time to time, very glad to be on as one who is not a Roman Catholic, but has had a terrific number of opportunities there to express my views, which on political and social and cultural topics are almost identical, if not in fact identical, to those of Eric Ajewski of Tradcad Night, who, along with E. Michael Jones of Culture Wars and Robert Sugenis and some of those folks, Eric Ajewski, in my view, is in the highest echelon of the best and most informed people in the traditional Catholic movement. Eric, good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for so much, for having me on the program. Just finished up doing ACH show the other day, and we had another great round of special guests on the program today. Had Paul Craig Roberts coming back on the show for the first time in a while, so
hey,
that was Kurt. Good. But yeah, normally 3 to 5 shows a day, so I don't think anyone in the podcasting community, Christian or otherwise, is doing as many shows as I'm doing. It's literally every day. We even do a live Sunday night radio show on Blog Talk. But, the website's tradcatnight.org. We're covering it all. I leave no stone left unturned. I've been one of the rare few Catholics indicating that I believe the Antichrist is right around the corner, could very well show up after this chaotic close, if you will, to 2022. So we'll see what happens in 2023. But I also just launched... I didn't even mention this to you, Mark. I launched a new Substack page because all the content creators and podcasters like, you got to get on Substack. You know, it's censorship free and all this kind of stuff. And I've been on it for 4 days now, and I wish I started it sooner. So you can find me over there, too, if you just go to Substack, search Tradcat Night, or just punch in tradcatnight.substack.com, and you could come join us. A lot of great information over there, too, as well. So, yeah, appreciate it, man. Whatever you want to talk about tonight, I'm game.
Well, basically, Eric, and we can talk about anything in the time that you can spare tonight, whether you can stay for the whole hour or not. Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio will be jumping in at some point here in hour two. But in hour one, I was reading a letter that I wrote to Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller,
of San Antonio about his ABC News television interview with John Quinones, which, in my view, quite clearly, the subject was Governor Abbott and Uvalde, quite clearly was designed, in my view, to hurt Governor Abbott electorally going into the fall election. And it revealed what I, in my judgment, is a less than thorough knowledge of the character of the knowledge of the Archbishop on the subject of guns and gun violence in America. We'll kind of leave that one aside for a moment. But if I'm correct, and I believe I sent you a copy of my letter to the Archbishop, I was very critical of the Archbishop for basically remaining silent about the fact that Mr. Biden and Mr. O'Rourke and the Democratic Party, in terms of their basic official party platform, are a culturally Marxist party on issues like abortion, euthanasia, LGBTQIA, gay marriage, transgender surgeries for children, drag queens in public school, the whole nine yards here. And then, of course, I was very critical of the Archbishop for not having an apparent understanding of the what it is that the Biden-Obama-Clinton wing of the Democratic Party has been up to for years in Ukraine, that is all directed both at Vladimir Putin of Russia, as well as what the retired Archbishop Vigano would say, is basically a pro-Ukrainian stance that is connected with the New World Order.
Anytime you're feeling lonely.
Patrick Slattery is doing a bad job of imitating Eddie Arnold here, but nonetheless, we'll
forgive him. Anytime
you feel downhearted, that'll prove your love for me is true. So Eric certainly will understand with his list. Eric will understand that neither Slattery or I have ever sold a record. Nonetheless, Eric, in terms of this whole business of Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller here in San Antonio, providing ABC News and John Quinones with what would seem to be a less than veiled sideswipe at a Roman Catholic and Republican governor of Texas, how do you, as one of the nation's leading traditional Catholics, how do you react to this? How do you perceive this? What is going on here? How are Catholics and non-Catholics alike supposed to understand this as it develops?
Well, I mean, for us, for me personally, we believe that the Catholic Church has been infiltrated by the three M's, Masons, Marxists, modernists, so it doesn't surprise me that the Archbishop has gone soft, liberalized. And listen, I've spent quite a bit of my work calling out people like this Archbishop and others, and supposed Catholic publications going after them and trying to really teach what the Catholic Church has always taught, and of course been changed since the Second Vatican Council, which I'm sure you've covered on this show and with other guests. And it's just another sign to show that we cannot follow these leaders, even though they call themselves Catholic. And, you know, especially on these social issues, whether it be on guns, whether it be on LGBT. Now the Vatican is going really soft on contraception. I'm not sure if you've been following that, those types of headlines. So, yeah, it's just more signs of the times. It's all pointing towards, in my humble opinion, what I believe is going to happen in 2023. I don't know what you, outside of pray for them, Mark, I don't know really what you could do, because most of the time when you confront these individuals, They just shut down, or they'll block you on social media. I've had that happen tons of times between bishops and cardinals and publications right out of there at Rome, and there's really nothing you could do. They're just going to keep moving in the direction that they're moving, and there's not much that you can say. And I don't know if you saw this, but I did an update on my Substack page today. There's a big conference going on over there in Seoul, South Korea. It's called the Cygnus Conference, and basically, Francis and his message to that was attacking real Catholics like me, indicating how, you know, the Vatican and these other, I'm just going to put them, fake Catholics, pseudo Catholics, need to get a handle on fake news people like me and yourself, we're going against, you know, this false ecumenical, like, interfaith movement, and are flying it under the banner of, you know, peace. I forget what the exact phrase was, like, peace online, you know, and pushing the beast system by suggesting that we're all interconnected, and that we're all one and all this happy, you know, new age baloney. So, yeah, that conference is going to conclude tomorrow, but it's very telling of what Francis really believes, you know. They want to censor us. If they could do that, they would. And who knows what the future will hold on that. But, yeah, there's not much more you could do to help those folks, unfortunately, Mark.
Well, I'm going to ask you one question that involves electoral politics in the state of Texas, which is unfair, Eric, because you're in Ohio, among other things. But just in terms of your gut sense of things, I know it's a guess. It would be a guess for me, and I live here. I'll have one electoral question for you and then one eschatological question before we drag Patrick into the conversation. KSAT 12, which is the ABC affiliate in San Antonio, which ran the story on Archbishop Gustavo Garcia Siller of San Antonio and his, what I would term a broadside, a thinly veiled or less than thinly veiled broadside on Governor Greg Abbott with John Quinones of ABC. We are told that in the San Antonio Archdiocese, there's a population of 800,000 Catholics in this archdiocese. I don't know how many of those are registered voters. But in terms of your basic sense of things, Eric, because you have a much better hand on the pulse of Roman Catholics around the country than I do, what percentage of these people do you think, A, will vote, and how do you think they would vote in both 2022 and in a presidential election, if there is one, in 2024? Do you think that the Archbishop holds sway over a majority of these people in regard to his own political views, or do you think there's significant layperson dissent from his well left of center political perspective? What's your notion on this?
Yep. Well, I would argue again, like 9 out of every 10 people that call themselves Catholic, objectively speaking, isn't Catholic, including this Archbishop. So of course they're gonna, you know, fly under that label. I mean, Pelosi calls herself a Catholic. Biden calls himself a Catholic. We know they're not. I mean, not even the man who calls himself Pope is really Catholic. I was the first actually in Catholic media to indicate that he was a true anti-Pope, and the church has had a lot of those. But it was quite interesting some years ago when it was a poll that came out after the fact about how quote-unquote Catholics voted in the, you know, Clinton man, what was it? Yeah, it was the Clinton-Trump showdown. Yeah, I think it was, the Clinton-Trump showdown there back in, like, 2016, I guess. And it was something like 50% of this one particular poll said they actually voted for Clinton, 50%. And normally what happens is the Catholic Church teaches you're supposed to at least choose the lesser of two evils. The Church allows for you, if you believe you cannot process doing the whole lesser of two evil things, you could just refrain from voting. But then some will argue, well, you're just allowing a greater evil. There's like a whole debate amongst Catholics about that. But I'm going to say probably most people, and I don't know about Texas though, because I've never been to Texas, and I hear it's quite conservative. So maybe I'm wrong in this, but most people are probably leaning towards the left now, as opposed to voting the lesser of two evils. And what was also very interesting as a result of, you know, the whole voter fraud situation in this last one, and then even with some people starting to get a little bit irked with Trump and the whole Operation Warp Speed and some of the things that he was doing, I know quite a few people, at least amongst my circles, that said they would never vote again, ever, under any circumstances.
Yes.
So I don't know. It's a mixed bag. It just really kind of depends. Like, you just got to break it down demographically speaking. But, I mean, like I said, I've never been to Texas. I know it's more conservative, I believe, at least in most areas. I don't know. San Antonio, I think, is a little bit more liberal, though, right? Mark, I'm not sure. But
yes, San Antonio is, interestingly enough, downstate. You had a Hispanic woman who
I'm trying to remember if she is a naturalized citizen of this country or if her parents were naturalized. But at any rate, the New York Times had a conniption fit when this lady actually won a special election to become a Republican congresswoman from the state of Texas, who comes out of the Hispanic nexus that the New York Times and others just automatically assume is going to be of a leftist Democratic Party persuasion. And thinking about her election, and I'm trying to remember what her name is, but thinking of her election, and this was all reported by Don Wassel's American Freedom News at the time, you had some suggestion that it would be interesting to see if this election of this lady in South Texas would be a part of a larger picture, a macrocosmic view of a Hispanic population in the state of Texas that can no longer be taken necessarily for granted by the Democratic Party. The jury's still out on that, but that'll be something interesting to watch.
Yeah. For sure.
Let me ask you one question about eschatology, and then we'll bring Patrick into some of this. As you look at what's going on, Eric, not simply in terms of everything that is certainly conveyed by this San Antonio Archbishop's appearance on ABC News with John Quinones, clearly aimed at Greg Abbott of Texas, and clearly aimed, in my view, at traditional Catholics in his own diocese, if he's in fact trying to get them to vote for Beto O'Rourke. Aside from that issue, in regard to what's happening in the Russian-Ukrainian war, in regard to what's happening in Europe, both economically and with this drought that we keep reading about, in regard to these ongoing intimations that Joe Biden gave the Israelis a green light in his recent Middle Eastern trip to attack Iran, where does all of this fit eschatologically in terms of prophecy, in terms of the second coming of Christ? And then how close do you think we could be to this? I know we don't know, but just in terms of the way you sense things.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to consider, obviously, you know, economically, politically, geopolitically. On the geopolitical front, I think it's quite clear that the staging for World War III will bring about the arrival of the Antichrist onto the scene. I've had other prolific authors such as Father Paul Kramer, who's done a tour worldwide. He's written many books. I mean, he knows a lot of cardinals in the Vatican. He also knows about the Third Secret of Fatima. He was friends with Father Malachi Martin, who was the one that, you know, initially read it, and it being passed around, dealing with the apostasy in the church, but ultimately with the solidification of the one world system and the arrival of the Antichrist. That's what even a lot of Catholics miss out on. Yeah, it's talking about the apostasy in the church and how it would be taken over by an anti-pope who would be under the control of Satan, who would lead people into, you know, the one world system, if you will. But yeah, Russia, Ukraine is obviously a hotspot. As a matter of fact, Father Malachi Martin indicated that would be essentially the beginning of World War III, and he always pointed to Kiev. He said, pay attention to Kiev. Now, this is going back like in the 80s and the 90s, and I have these videos on my YouTube channel still. So, and obviously that has transpired. Of course, the Fatima message is so instrumental because, according to this Catholic prophecy, essentially, when all is said and done, Russia actually turns Catholic. And I've talked to a lot of Orthodox, and they kind of laugh at the notion. I'm like, well, let's sit back and wait. You know, funny things have happened, and part of the reason, too, is going to be is that China is going to turn on Russia, and Russia is going to be instrumental in actually staving off China eventually. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But once this consecration is done, which hasn't been done yet, essentially it's a coming back home, I guess. You know what I mean? And I think that's how it's going to have to be in order to defeat this new world order. But then you got the China-Taiwan situation, and also the Middle East picking up, too. I'm sure you've seen this too, Mark, over the last like week or two, all these jihadi bombings and whatever else is going on. I think that's the final push for the man of sin to step out on the scene and eventually do this false peace treaty that we're all awaiting. So, yeah, there's a lot of moving parts. There's no doubt about it. We'll see how, you know.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago when warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down, you busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line. Break down, take down, you busted. Shake down, break down, hurry. Just about the time you think it, it's all right. Break down, take down, you busted. No matter what you think you pull, you'll find it's not enough. No matter who you think you know, you won't get through. It's a given LA law, someone's faster on the draw. No matter where you hide, I'm coming
step across that line. No matter where you hide, I'm coming after you. Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowd alive. Break down, take down, you're busted. Into the crowded line, break down, take down, you busted, busted, shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line, break down, take down, you busted, busted, shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think that it's all right. It's all right. Into the crowded line, break down, take down, you busted, busted, shake down, break down, take down. Just about the time you think that it's all right. Break down, take down, you busted. Shake down, break down, take down. Everybody wants into the crowded line.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, I've got to be forgiven if I want to spend
from your perspective, and then you, Patrick, what is this saying? How does Zelensky and his predecessor, Poroshenko, how do these guys become the president of an Orthodox country? And why in Russia are all of these Russian dissidents who have been in various positions in Russian media, including with the Russian search engine Yandex, those who don't like Putin's government and the direction that things are going in from their perspective? There have been a number of articles on how they're all, most of them, if not all of them, are going to Israel. What are we to make of this?
Well, if I go first, I'll probably default to Patrick, and I would certainly default to someone like a Dr. David Duke on this. I'm certainly no Ukrainian expert, but, I mean, it seems to me pretty clear that maybe it's a similar situation to what we have here in the United States, where presidents are selected, not elected. I'm assuming that they've got a democratic process over there. So, yeah, I don't know. The way I view it, I kind of see everything being scripted these days, personally. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know if Patrick wants to jump in here. I'm certainly no Ukrainian, historian on Ukraine. I would bow down to someone else on that. But to me, it seems pretty much the same, that democracy is a joke in the political process.
Yeah.
They're just going to stick in whoever they're going to stick in.
Well, Patrick, if you're going to make a Jewish drag queen comedian, if you are going to make such an individual the president of an Orthodox country, how do you do it? How would you do it?
Well, I don't know how I would do it, but I can tell you how. What's the guy's name? All of a sudden, his name slips to my mind, but the oligarch who owned the station, Igor Kolomoisky. This is how Igor Kolomoisky did it. Yeah, he owned, I think it's the biggest network in Japan. Ukraine, he owns this massive network, and he put he hired Zelensky to play the role of a high school teacher who became president. And so Zelensky plays the role of a high school teacher. He becomes president, and then he saves the country. He saves the country. And so you have, week after week, you have episodes. And then when it's time for the next presidential election, you pump a lot of money into this guy's campaign, and you run the past episodes, the reruns, on a loop. And that's how Igor Kolomoisky did it. This is the history of Vladimir Zelensky. He ran in, what was it? I guess it would have been 2019 is when he ran. I believe they have 5-year terms in Ukraine. So 2014, which was the year of the so-called Maidan Revolution, or it's really the Victoria Nuland coup d'etat, that's when Petro Poroshenko was elected. Petro Poroshenko, I'm not sure if he's Jewish. An Israeli newspaper listed him. He was an oligarch himself.
He's
a chocolate oligarch. And an Israeli newspaper had listed him as one of the Jewish oligarchs. He asked to be taken off the list, and they took him off the list. He doesn't look as Jewish as his prime minister, Yatsenyuk, who was literally hand-selected by Victoria Nuland. Yatsenyuk also claimed not to be Jewish, but nobody took that seriously. And then, of course, Yatsenyuk's successor as prime minister late in the Poroshenko administration was somebody named Groysman. Maybe it was a Vladimir. I'm not sure what his first name was. Something Groysman. Went to the same school as David Duke, by the way. And he was Jewish and never denied it. It was openly Jewish, as is Zelensky. So it's very odd, because this is a country which is only about 0.13% Jewish. So maybe 1 in 700 people are Jewish. And yet, in terms of the oligarchs, in terms of these presidents and prime ministers, other governors of provinces, Igor Kolomoisky himself was a governor of, I can't remember which province, but one of the major provinces, Yeah, you just, it's been the government since the coup d'etat has been chock full of Jews and also foreigners, just people who are not Ukrainian, people like former Georgia president Mikhail Saakashvili, who was literally the president of another country, and then he came to be governor of Odessa, and then finally and famously Alexander Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who had testified against Trump at the first impeachment when, yes, you know, Trump treasonously suggested to Vladimir Zelensky, treasonously suggested that Joe Biden's family might have had some dirty dealings in Ukraine that he'd have to look into. And of course, at the time he made those accusations, the FBI was in possession of Hunter Biden's laptop, which documented those corrupt dealings. But at any rate, at the Trump impeachment hearings, Alexander Vindman testified that not once but twice he was offered the post of defense minister of Ukraine. He's not an American Jew. Well, he was born in Ukraine, but he was working at the time on the American National Security Council staff. There, yes, you go.
Well, I tell you, one of the most bizarre things, and I don't know if either you or Eric can help me decipher this at all. Patrick, you made reference to Igor Kolomoisky and to the fact that he was the basic the power, financially and otherwise, behind Volodymyr Zelensky's rise to his present political standing as the president of Ukraine, however long or short that's going to be. But there was an article on the 28th of July in 2022. I would assume that you've not seen it, Patrick. I would guess that maybe Eric hasn't had a chance to look at this either. But it's a strange piece from the Times of Israel, and the title of it is Zelensky has said to strip free Jewish oligarchs of citizenship. All of them hold Israeli passports. Igor Kolomoisky, Hanadi Korban, and Vadim Rabinovich, major backers of Jewish causes. They also have strong patriotic credentials. So the president's reported move puzzles some observers. It certainly puzzles me. I'm not sure exactly what's going on here. But, of course, that these three most influential Jews in Ukraine, including Kolomoisky, who had the most money and influence behind the Zelensky rise to fame politically, is that two of these have been the most instrumental in funding Jewish infrastructure projects, especially, this will mean something to some RBN listeners, especially in the Shabbat Lubavitch stronghold of Dnipro, which I think the Russians actually call Dnipropetrovich or something like this. But they're no longer welcome in their native land, and in this particular situation, there's been quite a bit of pushback against Zelensky, according to this article, for having done this. Dnipropetrovsk, I think, is the Russian pronunciation of this city, where there's a lot of a Shabbat Lubavitch power and influence there. But nonetheless, reading this story about Zelensky cracking down on these powerful Jewish Ukrainians, taking this in tandem with all of these rumors that Zelensky is about ready to can his general, who has been the commander of his armed forces. And, of course, this is General Zeluzhny, whom we made reference to in an earlier part in the show. Not to mention the fact that the mayor of I'm trying to remember, there's the mayor of Kiev or the mayor of Lviv, one of the two, has basically indicated that Zelensky is trying to run him out of the country. Is Zelensky just reached a point of absolute panic? Is he seeking to blame anyone that he can for a roof that's about to cave in, or what? What? Either one of you guys, what do you think of all this stuff?
Well, if you want me to go first, he ought to be. He ought to be desperate. I'm not. I did hear a little bit about that article, The mayor of Kiev is Vitaly Klitschko, the former heavyweight boxing champion. I believe he's still mayor. He's been mayor, I'm pretty sure, since 2014. But the way I would interpret that is that, well, first of all, I don't believe that everything we see is the Truman Show or it's pro wrestling, that everything is scripted and there's one big plan that's just being implemented, you know, without any problem. I think that that situations change, events can be fluid, and like I said, Zelensky doesn't have an off ramp. At this point, there's nothing he can do but just try to convince people as long as possible that there, you know, that there will be a Ukrainian victory, that events are going to turn around, and then when everything falls apart, I would assume he's got some sort of plan to go to Israel or Miami or wherever. He's, you know, he has been accumulating a great deal of ill-gotten wealth and buying up property overseas. So what I would think is that for people like Kolomoisky, this entire plan has not gone the way it was hoped. You know, Victoria Nuland, like I said, I think what she wanted to do was overthrow Russia. It's not going to happen. And so I think Zelensky's days are numbered. And if he is stripping the citizenship of Kolomoisky and he is trying to fire his top military commander, it would seem to me that his days are very, very numbered, because I can't imagine he would have very much support left amongst the public. I understand that on VKontakte or other social media, I don't know what, maybe it would be Facebook in Ukraine, I don't know, but I would assume that I've heard that he's being roundly criticized for the draft, and so I would think his days are numbered, and he's just kind of lashing out desperately in some sort of attempt to save himself before he has to flee.
That's certainly my reading of the situation. We'll see if that proves to be the case. Again, that Times of Israel piece is entitled "Zelensky Said to Strip Three Jewish Oligarchs of Citizenship." And one of these is Igor Kolomoisky, who financed Zelensky's rise to political power. If you get a chance, those of you listening on RBN, take a look at this Britannica.com biography of Volodymyr Zelensky, which gets into Kolomoisky's financing of a film that was designed to promote and did eventually achieve the elevation of Zelensky to the Ukrainian presidency. The film is called Servant of the People and the Zelensky's Path to the Presidency. This is on Britannica.com. And, of course, it deals with Kolomoisky being the basic funder of this particular film. And it gets into the whole history of Kolomoisky, both the positive and the negative. It is well worth the time of all of us who are not experts on Ukraine, but who, in reading more about that country and about Zelensky, continue to be amazed that the United States and the EU and NATO would place their money and prestige and credibility on a guy like this, speaking of Zelensky, as well as some of the more dubious people, some of the more dubious oligarchs who up to this point have been financing him, including Kolomoisky. So keep an eye on that one, folks. Again, that's Britannica.com. Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine. And in that piece, look for the whole section on this film, The Servant of the People, and Zelensky's Path to the Presidency, and the seminal role of Igor Kolomoisky, this Jewish-Israeli-Ukrainian oligarch in Zelensky's pathway to power, however long or short that's going to prove to be. I think we got about 10 minutes left before the end of the show. I don't know if anybody is still waiting to get on. Do we have any callers? RBN, are you there?
There's Laura in Michigan. We got a couple more after her.
Okay, well, let's see what we can do. Let's bring Laura up.
Okay, first I'm going to talk to Eric and then Patrick. Eric, sure. Have you ever been on EWTN Catholic Radio?
I have not personally been on it, but I would argue it's a modernist outlet. It's more pro-Vatican II, so I'd be very leery on their analysis.
It's been irritating me because they're totally against Putin. And the thing is, they sell a DVD at the end of it says that Putin had restored or repaired thousands of churches after the Bolsheviks tore them down. How could they be against Putin now? Just so irritated at them.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much France's regime has taken, you know, taken the Ukrainian side on that case as well. You know, obviously, that axis between Francis, and then you've got Biden, of course, is very friendly with Biden, and then even with China, too, as well. So it's no surprise there. But yeah, EWTN is off limits, really, is off limits for any Catholic. I know, I have guests that have been on that, you know, that major outlet, and I graduated from Franciscan University with an undergrad and graduate degree from there, and many of them will actually go on to, you know, do some kind of work for EWTN, like Scott Hahn's my neighbor. I'm sure you heard of Scott Hahn, right? He literally lives a few blocks from me, and he, you know, he's got to get his theology squared up on the Vatican II side of things. So, yeah, no, I'm definitely familiar, you know, with EWTN, but I would say avoid.
Oh, they can brag that Putin repaired all those churches and then turned against him. It just irritates me to no end. Okay. Patrick, I just wanted to tell you, this morning, Wednesday morning, third hour on John Moore, I just about got Jeff Nyquist to admit that the Jews are communists.
Well,
I finally did it.
A lot of leading communists, important communists, were Jews, and a lot of important Jews have been communist.
I asked him, who are the founding fathers of communism? And of course, Marx, Engels, Trotsky, Moses Hess. I said, well, what's the common denominator of all those? He said, I know what you're getting at, Laura. You want me to say they're all Jews. Well, I mean, that's just about almost admitting that that's who it is. I was happy to try to get him.
An awful lot. Yeah, Rosa Luxemburg, and of course, if you go into, you know, the original Soviet Politburo, you had not just Lenin and Trotsky, you had Kamenev and Zinoviev, Kaganovich, maybe not in the original Politburo, but he was soon thereafter, Sverdlovsk. So you had a whole bunch. Sverdlov, I guess that's how you say it, Sverdlov. My Russian's not that good. It's pretty non-existent, really. But, yeah, a whole bunch. Awful lot of Jews. And then if you look at the very early and short-lived Bolshevik revolutions they had right after World War I in Hungary and in Bavaria, according to, what was his name? I forgot. There's this famous professor from a Jewish professor from University of Wisconsin. That those revolutions were Jewish to a man. So the thing is, it's not as if all communists are Jews or that all Jews are communists. But if you subtract away these Jewish communist leaders, then you don't have a 20th century full of communist countries. You just don't have it.
Right. Yeah. That's my point. That's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, thanks for taking my call. I know there's other people waiting.
It's always good
to thank you, Laura. We lost Pat from Fort Worth. I guess we have John from Oklahoma up. Is John there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm
go
here.
Ahead, John.
Hey, gentlemen, let me preface this with I grew up around my best friend is Jewish, and I went to his bar mitzvah. We still keep in contact today. It's not all them, but if Satan wants to destroy all humanity and the creation of God, he he's going to take God's people too. Now, my question, with that being prefaced, my question is, we all know that Russia is a communist, and I mean hardcore, not socialist, communist country, light. It's like a beer and a beer light. It's still a beer. And China is Maoist. Now you've got North Korea offering 100,000 men into Ukraine. How will that shift? And is this the communist attack that was spoken of, the final push that was spoken of in Rule for Radicals?
Okay, well, I mean, first of all, I have to completely disagree with the premise of that question. I don't see how Russia would be communist light. What is the definition of communism? I mean, when
he's pretending to be a Christian. I am not anti-Russian. Right now, they have a lot more free speech than we do here in America.
Well, here's the thing.
I'm not saying
there was a definition of communism. Communism as opposed to capitalism. Communism had a planned economy, and it had state ownership of the means of production. Right now, those were defining elements. You also had political repression, but political repression was in a lot of systems, so that isn't really a defining element. And then China has completely rejected. Well, I mean, it hasn't formally rejected Maoism, but there's been a complete turnaround since Mao died and Deng Xiaoping turned the country into one around pragmatism rather than communism.
Gentlemen, we are at the end of the hour on the National Intel Report. This is Mark Gancoff in San Antonio, substituting for the late John Statenow on the National Intel Report on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Wanted to thank my guests, Tradcat Knight, Eric Kajewski, and also Patrick Slattery of National Bugle Radio. I just wanted to mention once again that take a look at Mark Gancoff's Catacomb for some of my recent work with the Tehran Times and with Sputnik. And take a look at all of those news outlets that I list on my main page, including...
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.